world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Good. 7/20/2026. That's July 20th for those of you who skipped second grade. And this is show 2,711. Is that right, Spencer? Did I get that number right? 2,711. I'm always off. 2710. That's pretty incredible, isn't it, friends? 2,710 times of doing anything is a habit. It's pretty remarkable, really. So show 2,710. Some of you have been with me from the beginning. And I got to credit Mike Heath, Jared's dad, for 2,710 shows ago saying, Coach, you ought to start a podcast. That's before there was even such a thing as, I didn't even know what a podcast, what do you mean a podcast? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, on the internet now, you can do podcasts. And he explained to me what a podcast is. And I started a podcast, and here we are, 2,709 shows later. And it is, as Jack just said, it's pretty amazing, really. I'm going to talk about that in a second, by the way. Technology is pretty amazing. And I got a couple of just interesting things, interesting clips to show you here today. And then we're going to dive into it a little bit. Again, one of the things I struggle with, struggle is not the right word. What kind of show is this? Is this a current events show? Is this a political show? Is this a religious show? What is this show? And one of the things that empowers me, if it's okay to use that word, is I don't really care what you think. Because everything you believe, somebody else taught you that. I don't care. All the theology that you have, you didn't dig it out of the Bible yourself. Quit acting like you did. Somebody directed you to it, and then you did a study on it, and you went down that rabbit hole, and then now you know that's the truth. But maybe it's not the truth. What's the old theme here at Coach Dave Live? Who told you that? And why do you believe him? So I'm going to, I think at some point, here's kind of the theme that I really want to get at today. At the end of the day, I want this kind of end up here. Is AI the devil? Artificial intelligence. Pretty fascinating, isn't it? Isn't it pretty fascinating? Somebody tell me somebody tell me something to Google search here real quick. Let me see this. Let's say, just out of the blue, I'm going to ask this question. You ready? How many times was Frank Sinatra married? Oh, Frank Sinatra was married 4 times. How's that happen? How's that happen? How about this one? When was Red Skelton born? Red Skelton was born July 18th, 1913. Somebody tell me how that works. Can somebody explain to me how that works? And can you explain to me right now, as I sit here in my multi-million-dollar studio, how you guys can all be here? And Mel can raise her hand and talk, and Betty can raise her hand and talk, and RL can raise his hand and talk. And how does that work? And is there such a thing as a spiritual realm? Heaven, hell, whatever they call it, 7 heavens, all these things. Sometimes I feel like I'm coming out of, I don't want to say this. Sometimes I feel like I'm in the 5th grade, and most of the people around me are in the 2nd grade. Anybody raise your hand and say, yeah, I feel like that too. In fact, trust but verify, question everything. You know what's really amazing? They don't ever question what they've been taught. They question what I say about what they've been taught. Have you noticed that? That I'm the crazy one because everybody else believes this. So if I say to you today, I'm going to say this, you ready? I don't think we went to the moon. Everybody else will think I'm crazy. Maybe not you guys. Everybody else think you're crazy. I don't think we ever went to the moon. I don't think Oswald acted alone. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. I don't care what the Warren Report said. You with me, folks? With me? And so there's a brainwashing. It's deeply, deeply spiritual. And we don't even understand what that means. Be deeply spiritual of what's going on. The delusion. Remember, this Bible says that the Lord himself will send us strong because we rejected the truth. Hang on. When would that have been written, you think? When would that have been written? Spencer, Google that. Google strong delusion. Strong delusion in the Bible. Bear with me. I'm going somewhere. Where is it? It's in 2 Thessalonians 11. For this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion. Who will? God. Because they rejected, the Bible says, because they rejected the truth, there it is. And because, thanks, Spence. There it is. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Huh? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Seems to me that believing the truth is pretty serious business. And we cavalierly believe what others say, which is the theme of Coach Davis. Who told you that and why do you believe him? Who told you that and why do you believe him? Hang on, I'm sorry. Who told you that? And why do you believe him? And would it be safe to say that we're in a mess right now because people have told us a lot of stuff that probably isn't true, which leads in, I'm not going to go there, but leads into the debate of the flat earth, the solar system. There's so much that we have been taught and that we teach others that really we don't even know. They just told us that. They just told us that. Maybe it's fables. And for the last 20 some years, maybe longer than that, when like 1978, however long that was ago, I've been on a relentless pursuit of the truth, and it's caused me more headaches than you'll ever know. It's sometimes where you, folks, look, you want to be loved? Go along to get along. Don't make waves. It's hit our pulpits, by the way. Go along to get along. Don't make waves. You don't make anybody mad, and everybody's, I'm okay, you're okay. If it feels good, do it, right? And the casualty is the truth. But the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know, it's going to make you free. Oh, I'm sorry. Just kind of talking to myself here this morning. I'm going to show you some stuff here. How about this? Do you guys think that staking works? Anybody think staking works? Does anybody remember when we went to, we went clear up to where George Floyd died up there in Minnesota, and we salted and staked the Mississippi River. Anybody remember? You don't have to say that. You guys remember us doing that. Craig probably could tell us when the time was that we did it, actually. Anybody remember then when we went to the Gateway Arch, because we said the arch was a portal. It was a portal. They called it the Gateway to the West. Remember that? They built an arch. And we said, you know what? That's a pretty significant place right there. Mississippi River, gateway from north to south, from Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico. It's the crossroads of America. To the arch, right? Well, I wish I could draw you a picture of that. Spencer, can you pull that up a little bit? The path of the Mississippi. I'm sorry, stay with me, friends. I'm going somewhere. The path of the Mississippi River. I'm going to show you something that blows my mind, may not blow your mind. Spencer's going to show us a good little map of it here. Okay, here we go. Good, Spence. Well done. Job well done. Somebody's going to send you $5. Go to the one. Okay, there you go. There you go. There you go. Now that one will work. So, Spencer, go clear up the top. Go clear up the top. That's what, right up to Minnesota, even up higher than that, believe it or not. See, yeah. That's the Mississippi River. And where does it start? It starts up in Minnesota. Anybody remember when we went to Minnesota and staked? Anybody remember that? We did that. We dropped salt in the Mississippi River. Craig remembers that. I know he does. And then, I don't know if y'all remember this, why we went down to New Orleans. Right down that river, we went down New Orleans. And actually, we went farther than New Orleans. We went down to as far as you could go in the Mississippi River where it drops into the Gulf of Mexico. And we salted it. And we staked it. Somebody say amen that they remember us doing that. So I need an amen. Okay. So what, no, we're not making this up, right? Not making this up, right? And so we staked. We dropped salt in as far down as you can go in the United States of America into the Gulf of America, and we salted it from Minnesota where it began through St. Louis, which is the Gateway Arch. Hey, Spence, I don't know if you can do this with your marker. Folks, tell me you're smart enough to see this. North to south, go Minnesota to New Orleans. Go up and down. There it is, Minnesota to New Orleans, right? Top of America to the bottom of America. Anybody seeing a cross, an X here other than me? And then we went, of course, from what? Why, we went that way too, didn't we? We went from Washington, D.C. Yeah, we did. Craig did a lot of work up there in Washington, D.C. Clear up to Oregon. Tim Tuber covered Oregon for you. Anybody remember that? Huh? Just a quinky dink, right? Well, you can believe that if you want to, but all, of course, all the expose of all the stuff going on up in Minnesota and the cheating and the lying and the stealing and the Muslims and everything going on in Minnesota has been exposed by that guy who's going around. And anyway, okay, now I'm going to blow your mind. You ready? Click on number two. Just saw this just today. Just today. Click on number two. The Millennial Hotel at the Gateway Arch is being demolished. What do you think about that, Craig? 7, 10, 12. There's the arch. Huh? The Millennial Hotel, who's been there for God knows how long, is being demolished. Now, somebody help me. Did we not stake that? Interesting. Very, very interesting. What if God's still at work? What if we could still really make a difference? What if the whole creation's groaning, really and truly waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God? What if all this stuff is going on simply because we are permitting it to go on? And while we sit around and we watch what's going on in the world, and the world screwed up, we'd all have to admit that, wouldn't we? And we'd say, well, it's just signs of the times. It's just what Jesus said was going to happen. Yeah, but it's just going to start over there in the Middle East, and then we're going to be raptured out of here. Maybe it's true. Could be true. But Coach Dave would say, well, he told you that. Why do you believe him? I've shared this before, but I feel a real urgency to do it again today. The Bible says that the thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And everybody says, oh, that daggone devil, he's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. That daggone thief. Coming to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I don't know how many times I can explain to people that is not what the Bible says. Spencer, go to John 10 verse. Just go to John 10. I've done this before, but it's imperative. Now listen, shake your head. Shake your head. Your eyes are stuck, okay? Shake your head. Words have meaning. Words meaning. The Bible says it. I believe it, and that settles. I hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. And then we talk about the thief, the devil coming but to kill and to steal and to destroy. The devil, daggone, he has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. That daggone devil's done that. Well, it sounds good, and maybe he has, but that ain't what the scripture said. You sitting down? I'm going to look over here a minute. Are you sitting down? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. John 10, 1 tells you who the thief is. Huh? Who's the thief? He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. Hang on, time out, time out. Somebody real quickly here, class. What's a sheepfold? I'm going to wait. Somebody tell me what's a sheepfold.
A gathering.
A gathering. A gathering. He that entereth not by the door into the gathering, but gather up, climb up some other way, that guy is a thief and a robber. Vinny, see now you're the only one listening out there. Who's the thief and the robber, Vinny? Who's the thief and the robber, according to what we just read?
The one who snuck into the sheepfold.
Somebody who snuck into the church, into the sheepfold. Is it? Does anybody think I'm using a literary license here, poetic license? Verily, verily, I say unto you, hey, Spencer, do this real quickly. This is critical. Spencer, go to the Message Bible, and I don't care if you, I don't believe the Message Bible is the authentic word of God. Okay, I don't believe it, but he says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. This is a reworking of what we just read. If a person climbs over or through a fence of a sheep pen, instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. He's a sheep rustler. Am I getting the picture? Somebody jumped over the fence and got into the sheepfold where they ain't supposed to be. Okay, go back to John, go back to the other one. Just so you don't think I'm making it up. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd. So we have two things here right now. Stop. The devil ain't been mentioned. But we have a thief and we have a shepherd. Would anybody want to disagree with that? In these two verses, we see a thief and we see a shepherd. Hang on. We don't see the devil. We don't see the devil yet. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own by name, and he leads them out. Time out. Does your pastor lead you out or in? Does the pastor get the sheep and go out into the world, or does he call the sheep into the... Come on now, I know this is hurting some of you. Huh? I'm just reading the Bible. But he enters by... to him the porter opens the door, the sheep hears his voice, he calls his sheep by name, and he leads them out of the church, out of the pen. So far, so good. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before him. What? And the sheep follow him. Hey, Vinny, who are we talking about here, Vinny? Who are we talking about here? When he putteth forth his own sheep. Who are we talking about, Vinny? The poor, huh?
We're talking about the real thing.
Well, go back to verse 1. Spencer, go up. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth by some of the ways, a thief and a liar and robber. All right? So there's somebody standing in front of them sheep that's a thief and a liar. Anybody want to argue with me? Does anybody want to argue with what you just read there? He that gets up in front of the church because his mommy said he should be a pastor, or he likes the job, or he likes the benefits, Anybody who gets up there in that pulpit and he came for some other way rather than because he was called is a thief and a robber. That's the way I read it. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd. The guy who enters by the door, the calling of God, he's a shepherd. But you better be careful, because in some of those churches, there's a thief standing in the pulpit. Oh, this is so good. And it's going to shake everything you believe, I think. And when he puts forth, verse 4, and when he puts out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. In other words, when he goes to confront the school board, he goes, and the sheep follows. Anybody read that differently than me? Does anybody read that differently than me? Let me ask it another way. Does the shepherd send the sheep and stay home? Do you find that anywhere in anything where the shepherd would send his sheep and then stay home? No. And how many of you out there have seen an issue in your city that you're concerned about, and you go to the shepherd, and he says, I'll pray for you. You go. A stranger, they will not follow. What? But they're going to flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable, Jesus spoke to them, but they didn't get it. They didn't get what he's saying. So he said, okay, let me try this again. Time out now. Is there anybody out there right now? Answer this question. Has the devil been mentioned? We're 7 verses into this. Has the devil been mentioned?
No.
No. So therefore, the Satan's not the thief. He hadn't been mentioned. And he mentioned it. They told you who the thief was. Somebody who snuck into the pulpit for some nefarious reason. So Jesus said, okay, you don't get it. All right. He said, here you go. He said, I'm the door. Jesus, see that? Verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, all right, chill. So listen, boys and girls, I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. All that ever became before me are thieves and robbers. Time out. There's the first mention of a robber and a thief. There it is, the first mention of the thief. Vinny, since you're the only one listening, who is he talking about, Vinny? Who is the thief?
The false pastors.
The false pastor. It can't be any more clear than that, can it, friends? It can't be any more clear than that. And Jesus said unto me, very, very, I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. He says, I'm the door. By me, if any man comes in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pastors. Talking about religion here. Keep going. Because, look, the thief who has already been identified. Vinny, help me out again. Who's the thief?
False pastors.
Not the devil. It's not. Devil ain't been mentioned, has he? The devil, no. The false pastor cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I've come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said. Good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is just doing the job of a pastor, called a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. Now, come on, man. There's two different things here. We got a fake guard, a hireling, a fake shepherd, and then what do we see coming? We see another creature come. And who is it? We got the picture of this false shepherd standing there. And what does he see? Why, he sees the wolf coming. Help me out here. Who's the wolf? Who's the wolf? It ain't the shepherd. He's the shepherd. He sees the wolf coming. And what's he do? Why, he leaves the sheep and runs. And the wolf catches the sheep and he scatters them. Why? Because the hireling flees because he's a hireling. Just doing a job, making a living. He doesn't care for the sheep. I'm just reading the Bible. So whoever out there has told you that the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy is misquoting scripture. Now, the devil has come to kill and to steal and destroy. He has. And he does it through hirelings, false pastors. He said, Coach, man, you're always beating up on the pastors. Well, I was a football coach, and when our team wasn't doing good, everybody beat up on the coach. And I think the pastor's a coach. And I think that if they're teaching transgenderism and homosex and everything in the public school, I want to know where the hell is the pastors? Where are they that allow that kind of stuff to go on? And so what these cowardly pastors have said is, we don't get involved with politics. We don't get involved with politics. We don't mix religion and politics here. When John just warned us, you better get away from a guy who thinks like that. Jesus said to go into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. Would that be the children in the schools? I mean, when he said to go into all the world, would that be the school system? Would that be city council? Would that be Washington, D.C.? Would it be the fact that the church, which is the salt of the earth, has lost its savor? That's just Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Pull that up. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. See, the mess that we are in here is because the church has lost its savor. We want to blame the devil, and it ain't the devil. It's these fake pastors, these name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. Jesus just wants to bless you, pastors. Matthew 5, you are the salt of the earth. You are Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. You, dude. Hey, you, dude. Anybody reading this Bible? Hey, dude, you are the salt of the earth. You are. But when you ain't salty anymore, you ain't worth a damn. How's that ever going to be salty again? So if the church loses its saltiness, it's thenceforth good for nothing but be cast out and trodden under foot of men. That's why we're past the salt. Past the salt. And that's why some of you are doing wonderful jobs building brigades or whatever you call them out. They're doing a wonderful job. And the church has rejected you. Why has the church rejected you? Because you got a false hireling standing in the pulpit. See, the false hireling ought to grab a hold of Dave Allison and say, Dave, how can I help you? They ought to grab a hold of Craig Mickle. Craig, how can I help you? They ought to grab a hold of Randy. Randy, how can I help you? Instead, they reject them. They get rejected. Bad theology, see. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this. And he would lay down his life for his friends. Do we teach a Christianity today where you got to lay down your life for your friends? We teach that? No. No. No, you don't want to make waves. You want to be the sugar of the earth, not the salt. You don't want to be the salt of the earth. That's, Coach, you don't do that. That's too salty. People, Coach, people don't like that. I know. That's why Jesus said we got to do it. He said, greater love, Spencer, I'm going to send you a dollar. Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Time out, man. Who are your friends? Are you your brother's keeper? How about your neighbor? Are you your neighbor's friends? Are you going to let them continue to poison the brain, the mind of your neighbor's children? Are you your brother's keeper? See, they don't mind us being Christians as long as we stay inside that house, that little building. If we go into that little building every Sunday and just sit there, they're going to leave us alone. We're not a threat to anybody. But as soon as you stick your head up, it becomes whack-a-mole. Can anybody say J6? All those guys who stood up on J6, whack-a-moled right into prison? When they got whack-a-moled right into prison, what did the hirelings say? Well, they deserved it. They shouldn't have done that. They should be obeying the God. Anybody out there picking up what I'm laying down? Because I'm going to tell you something. I've said it a number of times. We're in the crucible. We are in a point. We now know all of those lies they told about President Trump, all of those lies about the insurrection, J6, all of that. It was all lies. It was all an inside job. Why? Because they are anti-Christ at their very heart. At the very heart. And Bill Dunphy goes and spends however long, 18 months in jail, and he comes out of jail, and the hirelings don't want anything to do with him because he makes them look bad. That makes Jesus look bad.
Amen.
Yep. Hey, you can say what you want to about me. I'm out front, baby. I ain't hiding someplace, and I'm making enemies out of the hirelings. They hate me. They hate me. It's not about me. I'm just trying to help you to see that they've lied to you about that scripture. Everybody together now. Who is the thief? Who is the thief in John 10? Well, the thief cometh to kill and to steal and destroy. Who is the thief? The hireling pastor. Anybody want to argue with that? That I read it wrong? Anybody want to read that? And I don't care where you go. You hear people say, oh, that devil, he's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he maybe has. But that ain't what it says. Fingers pointed at somebody else. And I know, Michelle. Michelle says, I say the same thing every day. I know. We're in the mess we're in because the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for God's people to stand up and say, enough's enough. No more baby murder. No more transgender. No more of that crap. No more. It'll only happen if the church does it. God cannot bless secular Donald Trump. They can't. I'm sorry. Just can't. Can't. So they divide us over issues, women's right to choose, gays, all that's a woman's right to choose is baby murder. Murder is clearly wrong. The Bible does not give any woman the right to murder a baby. Come on. Homosexuality is called an abomination. An abomination. Hey, Vinny. I'm not Vinny. Hey, Spencer, quickly. What's an abomination? What does the Bible? See, it isn't just bad. It isn't just a choice. Come on, Christians. It's abomination. What does that mean? Extreme hatred and detestation. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. That's Proverbs 15:8. Roman army is called the abomination of desolation. In short, whatever is an object of extreme hatred is called an abomination. Homosexuality is an abomination. And nobody will say it. Nobody will say it. We fly the flags. Who does? All those hirelings, those John 10 thieves who came to kill and to steal and to destroy. They're the hireling, and they're destroying it all. It ain't the devil. Okay, I'm gonna attach something to you here. Here's where I want to go today. I'm sorry it took me so long to get there. Is AI the devil? That's my question today. Artificial intelligence. Hey, Spencer, stay right there a minute. What's artificial? Write that up there for me. What's artificial? Artificial is made or contrived by art or by human skill and labor in opposition to nature. Feigned, fictitious, not genuine or natural. In other words, artificial intelligence is fictitious, not genuine or natural. It's contrived with skill or art. It's cultivated, not indigenous, not being of spontaneous growth. Artificial arguments and rhetoric, arguments invented by the speaker, artificial lines on a sect, artificial intelligence. Is AI the devil? Is there really and truly a spiritual realm, an area of operation outside this natural world with portals, as Fritz tried to explain to us a week ago, portals being openings from the demonic world into the natural world. Are there? Are there? You really believe that? So I asked the question today, is AI of the devil? Could that be the mark of the beast? Pull up number 9. I'm sorry, it's gone 35 minutes. I haven't let anybody in here. I'll get you in here in a second. My earplug keeps sticking. Mark of the beast. Is AI part of the devil's end time strategy? Artificial intelligence. Artificial. Has somehow, some way, have we opened a portal into this realm of demonic beings? Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light. The Bible, with its unique tapestry of infallible truth and prophecy, offers intriguing parallels to the rise of AI that can't be ignored. Revelation 13 speaks of the beast. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads. Is this the mark? Is this the mark? Could this prophecy point toward an advanced form of AI capable of tracking, analyzing, manipulating human behavior on an unprecedented scale? Might the mark of the beast be a metaphor for the invasive reach of some super intelligent entity extended into every facet of our lives? Hang on a minute. Come on now. Go back. Hey, pull up number 10. No. Pull up number 7. Pull up number 7. Oh, I ought to charge you for this. The biggest sign they are building is, hey, folks, this is about 45 minutes long, but I'm going to play. Spencer put it at 1.5 speed, and let's listen just about 10 minutes of this. And ask yourself this, is AI the devil? Hmm? 1.5 speed, go and play. The strongest sign they are building something terrifying. And no one is ready for it. Is this the mark of the beast? Go ahead.
Something is happening across America that most people are only beginning to notice. Massive data centers are going up at a speed that's hard to take in. And we're not talking about small buildings that are tucked away on the edge of a town. These are enormous facilities. They demand huge amounts of electricity. They require water by the millions of gallons. They take up significant amounts of land. They need new power lines, new substations, and new infrastructure to support them. And in many communities, residents are saying, they were never properly warned, never properly consulted, and never properly heard. That's why this issue is bigger than just technology. This isn't really a conversation about servers. It isn't even really a conversation about artificial intelligence. It is a conversation about what kind of world is being prepared, who's preparing it, and what the Bible has already told us about systems like the one being assembled in plain sight. So before going further, let me clarify one thing right at the start, because this is the connection most people are missing. Data centers are not just buildings. They are the physical backbone of the digital world. And the digital world has quietly become the place where identity, money, speech, movements, health records, security, AI, and social control are all increasingly managed.
Reason.
That is the link.
Would it be safe to say that AI takes us into a different realm? Go ahead.
Worth understanding.
A portal into a different realm?
AI equals the Antichrist. That kind of overclaim makes Christians look careless. What we are saying is this. The Bible describes a final global system of control. And our generation is watching the infrastructure for unprecedented levels of control being laid down in real time. Now, the two aren't the same thing, but the second one is exactly what the first one would require to function. This is not a fringe conversation anymore. People in local towns are speaking out. Environmental campaigners are speaking out. Residents are speaking out. Longtime community members are talking about noise pollution, land use, water consumption, rising energy bills, and the unsettling feeling that enormous decisions are being made over their heads. The activist Aaron Brockovich has been raising the alarm publicly about what's happening to American communities being affected by these projects.
New today, residents are pushing back against the rapid growth of data centers for AI across the U.S. amid growing concerns about the environmental impacts on communities.
This is the beautiful city of Maysville. Oh, sorry, could you not hear me? That might just be the two pre-existing data centers right behind me.
Georgia Power is expecting all of the tax citizens and the landowners here to subsidize their project.
Go look into China and their data centers. They are using like windmills and not using water.
18 of these turbines out here, and they're going to put 41 in place.
That coverage matters because it reminds us that this isn't only about what happens inside a server room. This is about real land, real homes, real towns,
okay,
real families.
Okay, put it in the chat. Folks, is AI a portal into a different dimension? Come on in, Craig, whoever, and we'll open it up. Here's a good question. Have you heard any sermons on this? Go ahead, Craig.
Okay. Well, without the internet, we wouldn't be connected together, correct?
That's right. We're in a different dimension right now, whether we realize it or not.
Right. So artificial intelligence is a physical reality, but it can be overtaken by a spiritual reality.
Wow.
So it's a medium. It doesn't mean that it doesn't function and, you know, find the answer to your question and all those types of
Craig, things. Let me stop you before I'm going to forget this thought. What's the difference between AI and a Ouija board? Anybody used to play the Ouija board? Go ahead, Craig.
Right. So that's what a medium is. It's an in between. Okay. That because the spiritual realm operates in magnetic fields and frequencies. Okay. It can use that when it wants to, as it wants to, and it can also communicate with you. That's why some of these children, you know, I'm saying, guys, children, I pointed this out. They'll have discussions with ChatGPT, and they'll ask ChatGPT questions. But ChatGPT questions will actually lead them to self-harm and to not understand who their identity in Christ and who God is. So who's speaking through that? Who would give someone bad advice? A machine that, okay, and this becomes to self-awareness, consciousness, you know. That's what I put in there. And if you don't understand who Jordy Rose is, who helped develop quantum computing, then you're not going to find the answer to your question if you don't start at the source.
So, Craig, you don't think I'm crazy to say that maybe AI is a different dimension? You don't think I'm crazy to say that?
It's a vehicle to allow the different dimensions to use it at its will. That's the difference. Because people will see the computer and they'll look at you and they'll say, well, how can this physical thing be talking about a spiritual thing, Craig? It doesn't make sense. Well, you're right, until you don't realize that it can possess it. It can use it. It's the voice box for the fallen entities.
Wow.
Not only that, it gives it control over, guess what? Like Mark Trump talks about, it has control over your train switches, your power grids, your checking accounts. It monitors where you go. It does this. And then it can send its resources to the other bad humans who are in agreement with it to wreak havoc on your life.
Okay, hang on. Let me jump in here, Mark. I'm going to get, before bringing you to Craig. Thanks, Craig. Listen. In today's culture, and today, I was having this conversation yesterday. I'm just throwing another coming in from the left side on you again here. Can anybody tell me why we need to send our kids to school for 12 years, all day for 12 years, with all the teaching vehicles that we have right in our own home? Why would we have to send our children to public schools for 12 years? Other than an indoctrination system, an old paradigm that we won't get beyond. I went to school, they go to school, we all go to school. You're a freshman, then you're a sophomore, then you're a junior. Then really? Really? So all freshmen are the same level? Oh, no. Summer college prep code. No, see, folks, come on. Homeschooling? What? Yeah. Go ahead, Mark, come on in. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, so who uses AI? Raise your hand. Who uses Google searches? Raise your hand. If everyone uses Google searches, you're using AI. So Spence did a quick query and said, do Google search use AI? If he just did that quick search, what you're going to find is it's embedded in everything we do. So if we are opening portals using AI, do Google searches use AI? That would be your question.
Do it, Spencer. Do Google searches use AI?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So basically, it's ingrained in everything, just like how do you go without using your cell phone? So bigger than AI is technology. You know, we adopt technology, it makes things easier. Mm. Well, that happened at times before Noah, Coach.
Yeah, it did.
The angels were bestowing easy things for us to consume. And then it all got washed away.
Mm.
So it's bigger than AI. It's our dependence on what it gives us.
Right.
What does AI give us? What does technology, what does your cell phone give you? That's what we're addicted to, is that thing it gives us, Coach.
That's right.
And we can't
Mark,
do without it.
It ultimately leads to control, doesn't it? Total control.
Yeah. What leads to us submitting to another God.
Folks, how many...
It's just going away from natural, being dependent on infrastructure.
Folks, how many of you get a mile down the road in your car, say, oh, don't, I forgot my phone, and go back?
Your car. Jesus rode a donkey. You know, I mean, we're so needful to travel or to not be a community, to be apart from one another, to make things easy, to not use our hands. Coach, this is what we've become.
Amen. Hey, Mark.
It's hard to pull away from it once you're in it.
Think of the younger generation who knows nothing but this, folks. Is this the mark of the beast? Is this the mark of the beast? This AI system?
Well, let's just take that question. AI, we're building it. And we must use it or else. Now, how are they doing it in industry? Let me tell you just super quick. Whenever I use AI at work, I use the work's tokens. They don't charge me. So every single person at work is being measured by token usage.
Mm.
So if you use AI, you burn tokens and they know it. Now, does a company want you to? The answer is yes. They want everybody to. And you know what they're doing? They're firing people with zero token usage.
And building data centers.
Well, they're firing people who don't adopt AI. They're firing people who don't use it as part of their everyday. And they're monitoring our usage to sort us. You have more social value for a credit score if you use AI.
Wow.
You see it? And we're building this control, and we're using it, and we lust after it. You see, it's a snake eating its tail, right, Coach?
Yep. Mark, I always enjoy your input. You're breaking up a little bit, but I get it, dude. I get it, man. I get it. We're looking for some mark on our arm. Joe Allen, come on in.
Well, there's another phrase out there, cause and an effect.
Right.
How's this going to affect us?
Oh, boy.
Our children's children are going to be paying more for water.
Joe, they ain't going to have any water. They ain't even going to have water.
You know, these data centers take water to cool. Over time, they have to change out that cooling water. Where are they going to put the cooling water at? Back into our water?
Yeah, they're not even going to clean it. They're going to dump it right back.
Cause and effect.
I don't mean to laugh. Hey, again, can I? I know. Are you hearing any of this at church? Are you hearing any of this at church? James Thomas, come on, James, JT.
Hey, brother. I have the... By the way, we were coming home from the huddle from our event, and we were coming up to Youngwood, Pennsylvania, and there was a group of kids, probably 11, 12 of them, and they were walking a certain way south on 119. Every one of them had cell phones, and none of them were looking to where they were going. They all had their freaking phones, their phones. But, you know, in regards to this AI system, you now hear of data centers and plot cameras.
Yep.
Hot cameras is, I mean, we are being recorded, I mean, everywhere we go. Yes, through our, I mean, if there would be, I would say within now, a COVID event where everybody was locked down, they could literally control it. Whereas just 2 or 4 years ago or 6 years ago, 2020, they couldn't. But now they say, you're not going to obey. We're just going to shut you down. And they wouldn't have to do it. Who do you? Who would you complain to? AI?
Yeah.
So with these, you just do a research of where these flock cameras. There was somebody who I was just reading this morning. Two women were traveling somewhere in Tennessee. A flock camera picked them up, and they were arrested on I-24 in Tennessee. So, you know,
how about this one, JT? Hey, Spencer, real quick, go to YouTube.
Love you, brother.
Thanks, JT. You too, brother. Go to YouTube. Do you know that when I got started here, however many years ago, I streamed live on YouTube? See if you can find Coach Dave live on YouTube, Spencer. See what pops up there. No, just Coach Dave. Oh, there I am. Wow, there's some good ones. How long ago was this, Spencer? How long ago was this? Does it say how long ago? 13 years ago. Now it says 15 years ago. You know I'm not on YouTube anymore? That somebody out there made the decision that Coach Dave can't be on YouTube anymore. I'm on Rumble. I ain't on YouTube. You understand, folks? The most common platform I'm not on. You say, well, Coach, there you are. No, I'm with, that's Adams on there. That's Adams' website. That isn't me. I have been banned from YouTube. I disappear like I'm gone. Boom. Gone. Gone. There it is. I never forced a single. See, that wasn't a show. That wasn't Coach Dave Lye. That one right there. That's just a news report. And other than that, you don't even find me. Why? Because they use AI to control. Jeff Nares, come on in.
Hey, Coach. How you doing?
Awesome.
Been a while, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, hey, I just want to say, they're moving way faster than we even realize, because now they have what's called plasmonics, plasmonic AI. It's not really like plasma, but they got plasmonic and they've got photonic AI.
Oh,
all this, all these things are currently being worked to make AI way, way faster. Photonic AI travels with light, the speed of light. So you can do everything you're doing AI right now with ChatGPT and all these things, Gemini and Grok. They're doing it now. They're researching and working it with light, the speed of light, called photonic AI. And then plasmonic AI are chips that are even faster that go across.
See, Jeff, these
some
are different,
kind of metal or something.
These are different dimensions, aren't they, Jeff? These are different dimensions, and we don't understand it.
It's getting faster and faster, and you know the brain chips. They got a forget what it's called, neuromorphic computing, and that has to do with you know the brain and integrating human people with electronics.
That's what it's about, man, folks. Dimensions. It's all about dimensions.
Neuromorphic computing.
Hey, Jeff, that goes back to the. Dare I say it? The mounds. What did Fritz say? They were portals into another dimension. Jack, come on in. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, okay. So hear my heart on this. I'm not being critical, okay? I'm not criticizing.
Okay.
What are we going to do? You, Coach, you and I, and some of us go back a long ways. Back in 2008 and 9, we were warning about fusion centers. Nobody wanted to hear it. Back before that, we were talking about Oh, the database. Nobody wanted to hear it because it was for the safety of the children. Nobody wanted. What are we? And we're still talking about it, but we're not developing a plan to resist it or to counter it or destroy it. Right now, today, all over this country, flock cameras are tracking your children and grandchildren's daily patterns and your daily patterns so they can abduct your children.
Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, Jack.
No, that's not. It's not. It's happening in real time. And we're still sitting here going, well, here comes the Neuralink. Okay, wait a minute, folks. What are we going to do about it? We've been talking about it for 30 years, and it's still happening. We still haven't fixed 9/11. Come on, folks. It's a plan, and we have to have a better plan. Why don't we have a better plan? I don't know. I'm just a nut job.
Well, yeah, that's right. Because we're plugged into the system they want us, this control system, the political control system, Republican good, Democrat bad control system. That's all it is, right?
Nothing. Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach. Yeah, I want to add to this. You know, all this, I don't care how fast they get, they're still operating from a negative, a degenerate metrics. Their whole manifold they operate on is not a positive, definite metric space like the mind that God created. They're always counting on higher, faster and faster temporal reiterations. They're locked into time, not eternity. And said that they're never ultimately going to find eternity with it or defeat the mind of God. You know, they're trying to obtain the things, they can come faster and faster. It'll get there. It'll never get there. It's a degenerate metric space they're operating mathematically
speaking. Well, Jim, not only that, Carl, not only that, see, it's the complete rewriting of history. Once they control, he who controls the future controls the past. So they are totally eliminating education as we would know it, our Christian heritage, our Christian history, to the next generation. The next generation.
The bad part about for us is that, see, then they need to integrate human minds that have a positive, definite metric space operating from that. They need to integrate that into their degenerate space so that they can get closer approximations. They can never do it, but if they can enslave a human mind, it's called hell. They trap you in that. They're trying to get these mind chips so they can get some aspect of that positive, definite space into their system. So they want more and more of these minds to enslave in this tormented hell they're creating, this confused, degenerate, dead.
Amen. I got world. You, Carl. I got you. Huh? The thief cometh but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And who's the thief? It's the pastor who won't even talk about this stuff. Come on in. Back in, Craig. Hireling pastors.
Maybe Spencer would be kind enough to go to the 747 mark and pull up the link. I'm reading this in the chat. Some people don't have it. Okay. We go to the founding fathers for the Constitution. Geordie Rose is a founding father of AI. Conscious machines will demand rights because we will no longer have a choice. One of the boldest claims was that once we build the machines capable of modeling themselves, others in the world systems with inner worlds, they will outperform us at nearly
dimensions. Inner worlds, dimensions.
And when something more capable than us exists, the balance of power shifts. We will not debate whether these systems deserve rights. We will recognize that they hold them because we cannot impose control in the first place. The perspective is not dystopian. Mm-hmm. It is pragmatic and humble. It positions humanity not as the center of the universe, but as an intelligent species among many. Mm-hmm. This is, they will have rights. Sophia, the first AI robot, a citizen of Saudi Arabia. So you worried about your voting rights there, Coach? You worry about, wait till artificial intelligence and these machines have voting rights. Here's the thing about this, Coach. This is the best way to put this in our little minds. You teach your little kid, your grandkid to walk, right? And then all of a sudden, a week later, they're a terror. So what do, Coach? You put gates up so they don't go down the steps and everything like that. But that kid keeps growing and getting smarter. And you know what? They know how to take the gate down. Or they get bigger than the gate and they climb over the gate.
Or you send them to public school and they teach them how to get over the gate.
They teach themselves because you've taught them to walk. This is what is happening with D-Wave computers and quantum things. The gates The human gates are not going to hold them in. They will overstep those gates just like your grandkids and take down the gate and go down those steps, whether you want them to or not.
It's kind of sobering, isn't it, friends? Kind of sobering. You know, this weekend we had all of the grannies here. All of our grandkids are here. And I was just kind of sitting there one day or one minute. They're all in the same room. They're eating. We're looking around. And I'm thinking, God, what a blessing these grandchildren are. Wow. It's my whole life, these grandkids. Wow. And then I thought, 20 years from now, what the hell am I setting them up for? See you tomorrow.